listening to the Apollo Podcast Network. One.
Welcome to another episode of Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. I'm your host, LaShara Binkley. You can find me on Twitter at HTownForLife40, all caps. I am director of basketball operation for Old Time Heroics. I am a contributor for Space City Scoop. And of course, I am a podcast host for Launchpad Podcast on Apollo Media Podcast Network. Today, we are joined by a special guest, Mr. Corey Randall. First off, thank you for joining us, Corey. I appreciate you jumping on.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course. And before we start, Corey, why don't you let everybody know the different platforms and where they can find you on Twitter, Facebook, or wherever other social media outlets you're on?
As far as a writing contributor, I'm with Blazers Edge, and I'm also with the lead, with the Rockets lead. So those are the two platforms that I'm writing for right now. And then I also have, I'm also, you know, co-host of one show, podcast, however you want to put it, called Leave It on the Court. And then I also have my own personal podcast called Staying in Bounds. So that's it with that. And then as far as like my social media, my Twitter is Corey, is at, you know, Corey A. Randall. And then my Instagram is Corey Alexander Randall. So, yeah.
Again, thank you for having me. Actually, I was just on Leave It on the Court recently, so definitely on YouTube. So you definitely need to check that out. All the people that are listening and following me, please check that out. I had a great time on the show. So today's episode, we're actually going to, as usual, we have three segments. In the first segment, we're going to be talking about a little bit about last night's game, because at this point, it's only so much you can talk about when it comes to individual games in the Rockets, because it's really a bigger picture thing right now with the Rockets. It's not really about wins or losses, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, some semi-breaking news just came out. The Rockets are possibly going to be releasing Ben McLemore here pretty soon, so we'll also be discussing that. In the second segment, we're going to kind of go over, I want to get Corey's opinion on Coach Silas and Rafael Stone's job performance so far, how they've been doing. Also kind of get his opinion on the last two trades that they have, trading out PJ Tucker and Victor Oladipo, to see if he thinks the Rockets got enough in return for those two players going out. In the final segment, we're going to actually be taking or answering some of the questions that some of our followers on Twitter actually sent out to us. So we're definitely looking forward to that. So, but let's start off with this, Corey. I want to kind of get your like I said, we're not going to spend too much time on it, but get your opinion on last night's game. It kind of followed the same recipe as most games have this year. They start off fine, you know, the first couple of quarters, you know, three quarters, they kind of hang with the team. And then eventually in the fourth quarter, they kind of fall apart. And you know, the team just kind of runs away with it. So what's kind of your take from last night game, or do you take anything, you know, good or bad from last night games compared to all the other games that they've unfortunately lost this year?
Well, something that's been consistent with last game and a lot of games is that, you know, like you said, in the first half, Rockets seemed to be, you know, I won't say great in the first half, but, you know, decent and, you know, more competitive. But it's the second half, they always come out very just like have like a lackluster effort. And especially in the fourth quarter, like fourth quarter is just like doomed for the Rockets. And I mean, yesterday, I think to start off the second half, I think they allowed the Celtics to go on a 15-8 run. And the Celtics were already up by 8 at the half. So from there, it kind of just blew open the door. But one thing I noticed with the team, there were a lot of possessions last game where the Rockets are kind of using too much of the clock to where, you know, you see KPJ having to force up some contested three or Sterling Brown or whoever it is. And it's like guys are taking too long to move the ball, but also move around and get in position. And I just feel like there needs to be a lot more, you know, pick and roll implemented in there with Christian Wood and even Kelly Olynyk. And it's just, you know, the offense is just super stagnant.
Yeah, and funny you brought that up because that's going to be my next point. Do you think it's just a matter of they're not playing together long enough? It just seems like the Rockets' best play would be pick and roll with KPJ and with Christian Wood, but it doesn't really seem like they run it too often. I don't know if it's because teams sag off in the paint, knowing the Rockets are probably the worst three-point shooting team in the league, so Christian Wood really doesn't have a path to the basket, or is it just that it's not in their playbook, but it just doesn't seem like they really run the pick and roll as much as they should, considering, you know, how great Wood would be in that, from either rolling to the basket or if they can run a pick and pop where he goes out to a three-point line. It just kind of seems like majority of time Wood is kind of just floating off to the three-point line. So do you think it's just a lack of chemistry playing time, or do you think it's just it's some other factor why they don't run that pick and roll more?
I think it's a lack of chemistry and just time, you know, playing together, because when you have a team where you know, you have guys like when they had, you know, Victor Oladipo and then now John Wall, when you got have guys like that who are, you know, playing every other game, and then Christian Wood had missed, consecutive bunch of games. What was it, like 18 or something like that?
Yeah.
And it just disrupts the chemistry of everybody. So then rotations are all off. Now you got a couple of new guys on the team and Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley. And I think with this team, you're kind of looking ahead to the future. So with this team, I would be just experimenting all kinds of things, making sure, you know, the building blocks like Christian Wood and KPJ are, you know, getting a lot of playing time to get their reps in and be, you know, really prepared for next season. But I just think, you know, pick and roll is the oldest play in the book. Yes. And it's just something just easy to run. Cause even earlier this season, when James Harden was there, James Harden would find Christian Wood on lobs and easy baskets all the time in pick and roll. And I also even think Kelly Olynyk and Christian Wood, for me, need to play together more. I mean, they're both basically 7-footers. They both can shoot. They both can dribble. They both, you know, they can move. And I remember Craig even brought it up during a game yesterday. He's talking about he would love to see that because it would remind him kind of when Josh Smith and Dwight Howard were there, because you create a lot of mismatches with that. Yes. Especially with big men that can dribble and can move, you have a lot of mismatches. So that would be, you know, something good to see.
Yeah, because – and I'm glad you brought that up, because I've been harping on that for Twitter for ever since Kelly Olynyk came to the Rockets. Because it just seems like a lot of time what happened is teams draw Christian Wood away from the basket. And what ends up happening is they give up offensive rebound after offensive rebound, because as much as I love Tate and you love some of the other, you know, other young guys, Tate is still only 6'4". KPJ, they say he's 6'4". He's really 6'5", at least. But he's still only 6'5". And teams are punishing the Rockets on the boards constantly. It's because they only have one big guy on the court. And I think that, you know, going forward, I know they're trying to still, you know, tinker with lineups, but I think going forward and definitely next year, the Rockets have to go back to having at least a 6'9", 6'10" guy at power forward and center, because small ball just doesn't really work, especially when you don't have shooters to actually punish the other team. If you don't have shooters and you're playing small ball, that's a really bad combination, as you see with the Rockets. So I definitely agree. Kelly Olynyk and Christian Wood need to play even more. And that's actually something I'm going to ask you about in the second segment. We'll talk about later as far as Kelly Olynyk's future beyond this year, but at least for this year, he definitely should be playing more with Christian Wood. Also something kind of a side note before we move on from last night's game. I don't know what it is about Robert Williams and playing the Rockets. I know he's been great when he's
starting,
but he is perfect in two games playing the Rockets. He was 9-for-9 last night. He almost had a triple double, which I didn't even realize until I went back and looked at the stats.
Yeah.
He had a career high in points and assists last night versus the Rockets. So I don't know what it is, but that's just kind of a side note where Robert Williams just dominates the Rockets every single time he plays. But moving on to like kind of the next subject. So his report came out that Ben McLemore is possibly getting waived by the Rockets. maybe today, maybe tomorrow. First off, let me ask you, are you surprised by this at all? You know, considering he's been kind of below subpar all year, to be nice. Actually, probably been worse than subpar. Are you surprised at all about this news?
No, I'm not really surprised because he hasn't really been in rotation that much, and just his performance just hasn't been the best. So I feel like if you're going to be someone like him who's just going to be on the floor simply to be a sniper, then you need to be a killer in that regard. And be, you know, dynamite if you're going to really provide anything else. So I'm not surprised by it. I'm sure, you know, there's several contenders I know that I saw that, you know, would be interested in him that need some floor spacing. So I'm not surprised by it at all.
So, and you brought up about contenders. Do you think it's a case of he's just struggling this year because he's on a bad team, or will he turn into Joe Harris once he goes to a team like the Brooklyn Nets or the Los Angeles Lakers, where all of a sudden he's just revived, like, you know, Blake Griffin was when he went to the Nets?
I think he'll be in a better position. If he was on a team like the Nets, I think he'd be in a way, obviously, way better position, just because you're going to have a lot of wide open shots. Yeah. And with the Rockets, it's not going to be like that because you don't have enough, you know, star power to be commanding a lot of attention. And even if he went to the Lakers, you know, he'd have good opportunities of that with LeBron and AD. But I just feel like Ben McLemore, I thought, played really well last season. And that was because of how their whole lineup was structured. Even though they're doing the small ball, you have Westbrook, who a lot of people can't stay in front of. And then you have Harden, who we all know what Harden does. And, you know, so that, and they're both great passers. So that had Ben McLemore able to be free and open for a lot of shots.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's actually shooting the worst percentage from the field in his career, second worst 3-point percentage. Mm-hmm. And like you said, if he's not making shots, he's not giving you anything on defense. He's actually a negative on defense. So if he's not making shots, it really makes sense for the Rockets just to move on and to give those minutes to some other player and let him maybe, you know, I'm sure some team is going to see his last couple year stats and think that, you know, maybe he can help them, and maybe he will. Maybe he'll be a little bit better with a better team. So I think the Rockets are doing the right thing by moving on from him. Before we wrap up this first segment, I also want to ask you something that actually happened in last night's game was Christian Wood came up limping after a play late in the game. Let me ask you, are you concerned at all about Christian Wood's, specifically his leg injuries that have happened multiple times this year?
It's a bit concerning that, you know, that's happened a lot this year, but I don't like to jump the gun if it's not something that's super consistent with somebody where it's like year after year, you're just dealing with stuff where it's like, you know, John Wall situation or, you know, it's, Blake Griffin or some other players where it's like, you don't know how many games this guy's going to play the next season. I think he's, he's had some misfortune in that regard, but I wouldn't be like too concerned going into next season or even for the rest of the season with the injuries.
Yeah. And like you said, it's kind of a thing also where Christian Wood really hasn't played a full year. So he hasn't really had a full year to get used to, especially being the main guy, being the go-to guy. Mm-hmm. So I think this offseason is going to be huge. Of course, it's going to be huge for the Rockets in general, but especially for Christian Wood. Going into he's going to know that he's going to be the man along with KPJ and possibly the draft pick, whoever that might be. So I think this offseason is going to be huge going forward for him. And hopefully he can get to a point where he's able to stay on the court and, you know, able to, you know, give you consistent minutes and not have to worry about the injury. But like you say, it's still kind of early because sometimes it takes younger guys a little bit more time to develop and be able to, you know, withstand a, you know, 70 or whatever, 82 game season, depending on the year. So that kind of wrap it up for this first segment. Cause in the second segment, I want to get Corey's opinion on as usual, a hot topic around Rockets Twitter specifically when it comes to Coach Silas and his performance, and can you really judge his performance, you know, going off of having 30-plus different starting lineups, and also get his opinion on the trades that Rafael Stone has made the last two major veterans to go out for the Rockets, Victor Oladipo and P.J. Tucker. So please stick around for the second segment.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
Hello and welcome back to the Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media. Again, we are joined by Mr. Corey Randall, co-host of Leave It On The Court. So we're going to jump back into this second segment with, I want to get Corey's opinion on Coach Silas and Rafael Stone. Let's start with Coach Silas. It's been a lot of chatter on Rockets Twitter back and forth on his performance, on is he doing a good job? Can you really even judge how he's doing with all the injuries and the roster turnover? Let me get your opinion. What's your opinion on how Coach Silas has done so far, and can you really even judge him yet, considering that he's had so many different lineups?
I think Coach Silas has done, for me, a tremendous job. When you have a team where you're having basically 30 different lineups, throughout the season, it's difficult for a coach to be able to have to cope with that, especially when a lot of the guys that are out in the lineup are your main guys. Yeah. Plus you're dealing with, you dealt with the trades of, you came into a situation thinking you're going to have Russ and Harden. Then you don't, you trade away Russ, you have Harden for a little bit, and then you trade away Harden. And then you have John Wall and Oladipo, who are guys that came off of, very gruesome injuries. Yes. And then, so you have to put them on a restriction, and then, you just have a whole new roster and a whole bunch of different players. It's difficult. And especially being a first year, head coach, like that's something, that's a very big challenge to be able to deal with.
Yeah. And I say, I've seen a lot of people that say that, well, his rotations are bad, or he should be playing this player and not this player. And like you say, mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to get a sense of, I don't even think Coach Silas knows what style he wants to play with this team, because he doesn't even really know this team, because it's a brand new team yet again. And like you said, he thought he was going to be playing or coaching two future Hall of Famers in Russell Westbrook and James Harden. And you go from that to now you're basically coaching. If you take out players like some of the veterans, really your core, you're playing a bunch of guys that are 25 years and younger. So it's kind of hard to know exactly what scheme you want to run. You kind of see it whenever Kelly Olynyk is on the court and he's in the high post and he's making a lot of the decisions from there. Mm-hmm. And you kind of can see where Coach Silas wants to go with the team with backdoor cuts and pick and pop and plays like that. But until he gets a consistent lineup, yeah, like you said, it's going to be kind of hard to really judge his performance. I think it's really going to be more next year. When you can kind of judge, because he'll have more of a stable roster, including whoever they get in the draft, but at least he'll know what his core is going to be going forward. And also I wanted to ask you, because of course we had a couple of trades in the last couple of weeks that the Rockets made right around the trade deadline, one right at the trade deadline. The first one was P.J. Tucker going to Milwaukee for D.J. Wilson and D.J. Augustine. And then the second one was, of course, Victor Oladipo going to the Heat right at the trade deadline. For Kelly Olynyk, Avery Bradley, and basically a pick swap into the first round. So let me ask you, first off, let me ask you about those two trades. Do you think the Rockets got enough back? I mean, considering that Victor Oladipo has been in and out of the lineup, P.J. Tucker wasn't even playing. Do you think they got enough back for those two players?
I think with P.J. Tucker, I think that what they got in return was good. D.J. Wilson's kind of like a question mark. He's a prospect, him being in Milwaukee, he wasn't really in rotation. So it's still, you know, remains to be seen exactly what he can offer. I don't think he's played too bad in the opportunities he's gotten with the Rockets. And then DJ Augustine is, you know, he's a veteran point guard. He's, for me, he's always been one of the better, you know, backup point guards in the league because he can shoot, he can create for others. But I, with the Victor Oladipo, when I look at it now, at first I was kind of just like, that's not really much. But Kelly Olynyk is good, and Avery Bradley's, you know, has always been a solid, defender. I think that Raphael Stone could have possibly gotten more if he hadn't waited so long. And I feel like waiting until the last minute, you played right into the hands of any team that was interested in him, especially like the Heat dealing with someone like Pat Riley. Pat Riley is a godfather. He's not an idiot. He's going to play you because he knows you're new and he knows you're desperate to get rid of him. I know Rockets were interested in Duncan Robinson, didn't get him, but I think Kelly Olynyk and maybe even Avery Bradley could be useful pieces for the team moving forward.
And speaking of Avery Bradley, let me ask you, he's actually been getting minutes ahead of players like KJ Martin. Do you think that's the best strategy going forward? I know Avery Bradley is a veteran and Coach Silas may feel a little bit more comfortable with him on the court. But considering that the rest of this year is really about development going into next year, do you think players like Avery Bradley and I think to a lesser extent, DJ Augustine and Kelly Olynyk, because I think they help the younger players more than they hinder them. But do you think a player like Avery Bradley should be getting basically some of the first guard forward minutes off the bench?
No, I think KJ should be playing more because I think that he could definitely be a key part of rotation. That dude is athletic.
Yes,
Jesus.
yes,
I'm not gonna say just because you're athletic that you're all of a sudden gonna be good, but like he has smart, great defensive instincts. He can fly, he can get rebounds. And I think the development is important for him. Like Avery Bradley, not to say you shouldn't be playing him, but you're not worried too much about any development with him. If you keep him moving forward, you know what Avery Bradley provides, but these young guys still got to be, you know, put in there. And you brought him up for a reason. So, and especially in this season, that just looks like it's done. Just, you got to experiment with that.
Yeah. And also, I mean, like you said, I mean, KJ Martin is going to be your future. He's probably going to be in your rotation going forward. I mean, he should be in your rotation going forward. And as much as Avery Bradley may, you know, bring some benefits over KJ Martin, I mean, if it were in a season where the Rockets were fighting for a playoff spot, then I can understand. But the only thing they're really fighting for right now is honestly is a draft pick and developing these young players. So it's really not much of a point to play a player like Avery Bradley. I don't even know. I doubt they'll buy him out just because Avery Bradley would have to agree to that as well. So I don't know if it's even a situation where they'll buy him out, but I just don't think he should be getting the first minutes off the bench ahead of players like KJ Martin or even when Sterling Brown's not starting, a Sterling Brown. And with Ben McLemore gone, there may be a few more minutes at the end of the bench, but I still think it's a case of he definitely shouldn't be the first guy off the bench. And speaking of like other veterans, before we wrap up this second segment, do you think going forward, because Kelly Olynyk is a free agent, DJ Augustine actually has a couple more years at around $7 million left. Do you think the Rockets should, even beyond this year, keep those two players, even though they are both one is 30, or actually they're both in their 30s, their early 30s. Do you think the Rockets should keep those players beyond this year to help with the younger players' development?
I think yes. I think they should keep both of them. As long as DJ Augustine is already on, financial friendly contract, but it depends what Kelly is going to demand beyond the season. Cause I know this season he's making about 12, 13 mil. But yeah, it depends what he's going to be demanding the next season. I definitely wouldn't want to be, you know, overpaying him and kind of mess up the cap situation with the team.
So let me follow up and ask you, what number is too high to bring him back? Because like you say, he's making around 11, 12 million this year. If the Rockets don't make any moves, let's say a la not moving Eric Gordon, they'll probably be around 18 million cap space. So what number do you think the Rockets should, is it right where he is right now, around 11, 12 million? Would you pay him 11, 12 million to come back for next year? Or would you only go as high as maybe like a $6-8 million mark?
I would say anywhere between 7 to 10 mil.
Yeah.
Is the range that I'm looking at with him. 10 tops, hopefully, you know, more single digits.
Yeah. And it makes sense. And you definitely probably want to do a 1 year deal if he's willing to do it. But like you said, the better he plays the rest of the year, the more likely he might price himself out of where the Rockets may want him. But maybe he just likes the situation he's in, that, you know, he's going to get playing time and maybe he'll stick around. It's going to be a lot of questions going into this offseason. Because like I said, you still got Eric Gordon on the books for $16-17 million. If you're able to move him somehow, then you basically have a max slot for next year. Even with John Wall's $40 million, wow! Every time I say that's $40 million contract for John Wall. Even with that contract, you can still have close to a max slot. So it'll be definitely interesting offseason for, you know, Rafael Stone and the Rockets on what direction they want to move in. And part of that direction is going to have to do with players like John Wall. It's going to have to do with the draft, and that's actually. We're going to answer some of your questions that we got from Twitter in our final segment. And I'm going to get Corey's opinion on John Wall's situation and also with the draft coming up in the offseason. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU. All Houston, all original.
Hello and welcome back to Launchpad Podcast as we are kicking off the third and final segment. I am here with Corey Randall, co-host of Leave It on the Court podcast on YouTube. So Corey, we are going to be answering some listeners and questions from Twitter from our followers. I want to get your opinion on a few of them. So with the first question we're going to start off with is actually asking about the draft, and it's from at Trey BLI Gilbert. He asks, actually, he has two or three parts to his question. First part is he wanted us to rank Kay Cunningham, Mobley, Jalen Suggs, and Jalen Green. So let me ask you, in order from best to least likely that the Rocks will draft them, how do you rank those players?
When you say the least likely draft them.
So I would say from, if the Rocks had the first overall pick, or look, actually just make it even easier, how would you rank those players from one through four?
One through four. Definitely have Cade Cunningham I have at one.
Yes.
At number two, I'm going to go with Evan Mobley. And then at three, I'm going to go with Jalen Suggs. And then at four, I'm going to go with Jalen Green.
So then if the Rockets, let's say, God forbid, they don't get the first pick and they got the second pick, would you draft Evan Mobley over Jalen Suggs or Jalen Green?
That is something I'd definitely be, I would look at. Cause before when I was looking at, okay, who could the Rockets draft, I was thinking of, you know, getting another guard to play alongside Kevin Porter Jr. Yes. But then when I see how Mobley plays and how good of a defensive player he is, I mean, he's only shooting like 30% from three on the season, but just how he is all around, And pairing him with someone like Christian Wood would kind of be very deadly.
Yes.
So it kind of, I wouldn't hesitate on taking him if you got the second pick over Suggs and over Jalen Green.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with you on that, just because it's, and we're going to actually talk about this in the next questions. The John Wall part of this, that's kind of the elephant in the room, because if you draft a Jalen Suggs or you draft a Jalen Green, who probably are better prospects right now than an Evan Mobley, but it's about, and that was a part of the next question that Trey had here, was how would that affect the roster? Because if you go with one of those guards, then what do you do with John Wall? You can't necessarily sit him because that's going to be a disaster, especially if he's healthy. He's not going to want to sit. You're not going to buy him out because he's owed a lot of money over the next couple of years, and he would have to give up a lot of money for the Rockets to be able to buy him out. To be able to trade him, you would probably have to give up some other assets. And again, we'll talk about that more later. But I think if you had that second pick, I would go with a player like Mobley just because he just fits with the current roster better. And like you said, you can pair him with Christian Wood and you basically have your front court for the next 5 to 6 years easily. And you won't even have to worry about that. And right. Actually, the part of his question was, who do you see let's say they draft Cade Cunningham at number one. Do you see that affecting anybody else on the roster? Do you see them more likely to move a player like Eric Gordon if they already have a Cade Cunningham, and then you'll have KPJ, and then you'll have John Wall and possibly DJ Augustine? Do you see them more likely to move a player like Eric Gordon?
Yeah, I could see them moving a player like Eric Gordon because he has, you know, he's making pretty good money as well, close to the $20 million per year. So I could definitely see them doing that. And if they could, I'd rather be able to keep Eric Gordon, come off the bench if he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
And send off John Wall. But yeah, if they could, I know there would be several teams that would be interested in Eric Gordon because him being a spark plug and he can score, and he's a pretty decent defender. But if they could, yeah, I would say him.
Yeah, I mean, and actually, crazy enough, Eric Gordon actually had one of his better years. There's actually a stat that came out not too long ago where he was actually one of the top 20 players in the league at getting to the basket and scoring around the rim. So. He's actually had a better year compared to last year, which was probably his worst of his career. So he's actually bounced back pretty well this year. And his contract's not horrible. It's not great, but it's not, you know, $30, $40 million a year that you'll be trying to move. So I think he'll have a pretty good amount of teams that you can possibly get something back for Eric Gordon and then open up that spot for Cade Cunningham, or if you decide to go with a guard like a Jalen Green or a Jalen Suggs. So let's move on to the next question, which actually the next two questions are kind of similar. They're both about John Wall and the potential of moving him. How would you move him? So Connor Cumby at Connor Cumby actually asked what avenues would we have to go through in order to move Wall. And then Rockets Red Glare actually asked a similar question saying, should we just move Wall if possible? So let me ask you, what the Rockets have to do to be able to even move from John Wall? Because like you said, buying him out is pretty much not an option. So what would the Rockets would have to add to be able to move on from John Wall and his contract?
I think with how big of a contract that he has, it would definitely, for me, have to be a multi-team trade.
Yeah.
To be able to, you know, spread around like the assets and stuff. Because if you were to trade John Wall straight up to another team, I feel like unless it's a situation where you traded, you know, you traded Russ for John Wall and their contracts were very identical. Outside of that, if you were to trade it to a lot of other teams, you're going to have to ask them for a whole bunch of assets. So I think definitely having, you know, three teams, maybe even four teams total involved would be the best move to make.
Yeah. And like you said, it probably would be, I mean, it's only few teams they even have that would possibly even have the cap space just to do it straight up. That'd be a team like the New York Knicks or someone like that. And then it'll be a matter of would you know, a Tom Thibodeau even want a John Wall? I mean, I know he likes older guards that been in the league a while, like a Derrick Rose, but would he be able to take on that big of a contract? And like you said, it probably have to be a multiple team trade. You probably would have to unfortunately add some of your first round assets to even move on from John Wall. So it's kind of a difficult situation when you're talking about moving on from a John Wall or keeping John Wall. But let me ask you, as far as the rest of this year, would you just go ahead and just shut down Wall and let KPJ run the point going forward?
I think, yeah, but at the same time, I feel like if you completely shut John Wall out, then with him not playing at all for the rest of the season, like sometimes, you know, teams may look and be like, well, I haven't seen this guy play in the last, you know, 25 games or whatever. And they may be a little hesitant on what the news is on him as far as how his injury is going and all that kind of stuff. And then the other thing with KPJ is he should be more in a position of learning both spots. I don't know if putting him at point guard solely long-term is the answer. That's why, like, if you were to be paired with a guard, I feel like Cade Cunningham would be best because they both can just interchange on plays, kind of like how CJ McCollum and Dame do.
Yeah.
And just interchanging their positions. But just putting him at just to run the one the whole time, I don't think that's going to be completely beneficial with him, because his best asset at the end of the day is scoring, especially driving to the rim. So I definitely think that they should still play John Wall, maybe not play him every game, but still play John Wall, you know, decent amount anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point as far as shutting him down for the rest of the year, because if you're trying to trade him next year, how many teams – I mean, the contract already is a big deterrent, but if you're trying to trade him and he hasn't played and no one's seen him for like the last month or so, they're definitely going to be less likely to want to trade for him. And also your point on KPJ is a good one, because even though he did play a lot of point guard when he was down in the G League, it's still his best asset is getting to the basket, and his best asset is still scoring. So you want to free him up enough to where he can still develop that part of his game more. And it's kind of hard to do that if you're trying to run the point guard position as well. So like
right.
You said, I mean, a Cade Cunningham coming in would actually be perfect, because they'll be able to grow together. They're both, I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. is still only 20 years old. I mean, it seems like he's been in the league for several years, but he's only been in the league. This is
second year.
I think he's finally at a full year, because he didn't even play all last year, of course, because of the COVID situation and some other thing that was going on. So he's really just at a full year just now. So KPJ still has a long way to develop, and to think about that as far as how good he is already on offense. I mean, he's only going to get better, and to be able to get him for a second round pick, I mean, it was an absolute steal. So the Rockets, you know, even though they're struggling this year, they still have a lot to look forward to going into the future. And let me ask you, as we kind of wrap up this last segment, wrap up the show, if let's say the Rockets do land a Cade Cunningham or Evan Mobley, and not knowing, of course, what everybody else is going to do and what other players they're going to bring in, with those players and the current core roster, do you see them being able to now compete for a playoff spot next year?
If you just with their current team and then you add Cade or Evan Mobley?
Exactly, yes.
And you still got John Wall?
Yeah, and you still got Wall. Basically, you still got your same team, but you're able to add those two players. And, of course, health, of course, has a lot to do with it. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that players are healthy and they still have the same core, and then you add one of those top lottery picks.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't, you know, lock them in to obtain a playoff seed, but
yeah.
I definitely think they would compete for it, because I think they could beat out several of these other teams, like, because I know you have like San Antonio, who's in the playoffs right now, and things like that. Like, I think they could definitely surpass that. But also, hopefully, guys, because even when you look at this season, when Christian Wood went down against the Grizzlies, if Christian Wood hadn't gone down, Rockets were winning, like,
they were 11 and 10,
a lot of games, and then they lose, you know, like 20 straight. So even if he hadn't gone down, he kept playing. I'm not saying they were going to win every game, but they probably would have won a lot of those, because they were on a streak, and they would be in a better position right now. But yeah, I definitely think that they would be able to obtain probably a low seed next season in the juggernaut of the Western Conference.
Yeah. So you heard the Rockets fans, you have something to look forward to this year, not just the draft. The team actually will get better. So I know this year is a down year, but you heard it here first. The Rockets will get better next year, one way or another.
Yeah.
So before we wrap this up, Corey, why don't you again let everybody know where they can find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Corey A. Randall. That's R-A-N-D-A-L-L. And Corey's with an E-E-Y. And then also, you know, I'm a host, co-host on Leave It on the Court on YouTube, also on Spotify and streaming platforms like that. And then I also have my own personal podcast on Spotify and those streaming platforms called Staying in Bounds. So that's where you can find me.
All right. Well, definitely, like I said, again, thank you for joining me today, Corey. I had a great time on your podcast. I appreciate you joining mine, and we definitely plan on having you back on again.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. So, and before I wrap this up, I also want to thank everybody that submitted questions. Definitely appreciate you submitting the questions, and appreciate everyone listening. So that's going to do it for today's episode. So if you haven't already done so, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And be sure to follow at Apollo H-O-U, that's A-P-O-L-L-O, capital H-O-U, for blogs, merch, video, podcasts, and more original Houston sports content not found anywhere else. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back for our next episode of Launchpad Podcast covering your Houston Rockets.